Right.
They haven't had the feeling other than what a drug or what an alcohol or a baby somewhere else. That's the only feeling that they've ever known. That's what they associate feeling good with, and they don't understand what this feeling is.
Amen.
This is not a feeling. I mean, I have a hard time explaining how it is, because I'm fortunate enough to live it every day.
Amen. Amen, brother.
That's where I need to be.
Amen.
Those are the things that are important.
Yeah.
There's people out there that are still sick and suffering. I had a friend that worked with me in Michigan. He was 17 years old. He died a month ago. He, as far as I know, he had never done heroin before. He tried it one time and it killed him. 22 years old. And it broke me. I couldn't even go to work the next day because I felt so guilty. Because I the way that I was when he worked with me. You understand? So this whole conference, this our human stream,
amen,
being able to come into a church that accepts you unconditionally,
amen,
the way you are, just the way God has
brought you. Amen.
I'm extremely thankful, and I'm just,
Amen. Love you, brother. Whew. One of these days, we're going to have thousands of testimonies like that.
Yeah.
I believe that with all my heart. Go ahead, Brother Terry.
Along with the dollar, Brother Jason was challenging everybody to put into a secret box. So, you know, my past, some of my family, and I challenge you not only to put a dollar in the box, to send a prayer to God.
Yeah.
Or a family member or a friend. You ain't got to search for it for this junk. And it ain't got to be an illegal substance. It can be alcohol. It's world.
Absolutely.
It promotes regularly. You know, like Brother Jerry said this morning, it can be something as simple as eating.
Yeah.
Everybody has a guilty pleasure or guilty sin that they look at, but they might not see, or they might not realize the way out or anything, and it may be your prayer that gets to God that opened their eyes.
Amen,
their,
brother.
Issue. So, along with put the dollar in that cedar box, send up a prayer.
Amen.
Multiple prayer, for that person to be there until the conference comes, or even to get right before that conference.
Amen.
To make the step.
Yes, sir, bro. That's good. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to. Amen.
It's not just drugs that destroyed her life. I've watched my nephew, his life has been just almost completely destroyed.
Yep.
By alcohol. And I've been trying to tell him, Mother and I, Michelle, Chris, we've been trying to tell him that you just come and let God work in your life. He can open some doors for you. Because finally they get to a point where they have nothing.
Yep. Amen. 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 He's been in RU the last 2 weeks too, so praise the Lord for that. Go ahead, Brother Scott. Yeah.
Amen.
I'm
Amen.
I can't drive the bus, but God gave us something.
That's right. Amen.
I'm just sitting here thinking, if we can get to these kids,
yeah,
show them Jesus.
That's it, brother. Amen. 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 Yes. That's the ticket right there. Amen. Go ahead, Miss Regina. Yep.
I didn't have a place to go to. I didn't have a place to surrender myself. So, you know, their jelly sandwiches that they give us every Sunday. That filled my belly. That's all I had. I didn't have anything to eat. Our refrigerator was always empty. So I remember one time it was so bad. We had butter in the refrigerator. And my brother went in there and ate it because that's all we had.
Hallelujah. About that. Woo, that's good stuff, man. Hey, it'd blow your mind if you seen some of the homes some of these kids come out of. I'm serious, heart attack. We've knocked on doors that didn't have windows, they had cardboard. Amen. We've knocked on doors that mama was knocked out on the couch the whole time you're there visiting. I hate to use this term, but these kids come out of hell on earth. They do. And they come here every Sunday. Yeah, we give them stuff. I'm with Brother Warren. We'd give away cars if we had the money. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 6. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Levi's begging me to preach tonight. If he'd start coming up with a little cash, he might get to. Amen. Amen. Bring some of my tools back home. Amen. Brother William, tell him. Tell him. Brother William pays me. Amen. I'm kidding. Ecclesiastes chapter number 6. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Levi was telling me what he wanted to preach tonight. And I'm giving him a hard time, but I called him yesterday morning. I couldn't talk. My voice was, Brother Jason, I talked to him. I was still sick. And I said, just be ready. That wasn't a guarantee. I said, just be ready. So I preached. I come in this morning, and he was all disappointed because I felt better. And I come in the prayer room tonight, and the first thing out of his mouth, you preaching? I'm sorry to let you down, son. Amen. But Brother Tom told me, said, you ain't preaching this morning, are you? I said, that's what you give me a check for every week. Yeah, I'm preaching. Amen. So anyway, I tell you, I'll be honest with you, when I'm sick, if I can preach, I feel better after I do. Amen. I think I sweat some of it out or cough it up. I don't know what, but anyway, it feels better. And anyway, Levi was telling me what he was going to preach tonight, and we're both preaching not the same thing, but along the same lines. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 6. I want you to look with me at verse number 9, and keep your Bible open to Ecclesiastes chapter number 6. We're going to preach down through a few of these verses tonight, and I'll try not to preach very long, but this is what the Lord put on my heart. Ecclesiastes chapter number 6 and verse number 9. The Bible said, better is the, say it with me,
sight
of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. We'll read the first part of the verse again. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes with this thought tonight. Seeing 2020. Seeing 2020. Sometimes things blur our vision and get in our way. And we can't see things for what they really are. Sometimes we have some of these misconceived notions about things. We get something made up in our mind that this is this way or this is this way, and really it ain't that way at all. Amen. I thought I had a couple get up and walk out on me mad this morning. They weren't mad. Stacy talked to them outside. They had to have their little girl somewhere by a certain time. And I was preaching, and the devil jumped up there and said, "See what you did?" Amen. See, we don't understand everything. Everything ain't always like you think it is. Amen. But my wife went to the eye doctor here last week, and they dilated her eyes and all that good stuff. And she wears contacts, been wearing them for years. And what she found out was that her vision had changed. Sometimes your vision can change. As you grow older, your physical vision can change. And if you're not careful, your spiritual vision can change also. What she found out was that the contacts she was wearing and had been wearing for so long were too weak for her eyes, and she needed something a little stronger, so they got her a telescope coming next week. Amen. She'd come in here with them Coke bottle glasses. Amen. I've always told her, I don't care what them doctors say or the pharmaceutical companies that makes contact, I don't think you ought to sleep in them things. That just don't seem right to me. Your eyeballs can't breathe. And I fuss at her all the time. And I told her, if you go blind, I'm going to dress you funny and take you out in public. Amen. But our vision can change. If you're not careful, if you don't pay attention, you'll begin to see things in a wrong way or not see things at all. Poor visibility has crashed airplanes, killed people in car accidents. I was driving to Corbin, Kentucky a while back. And it's a meeting I preach. I used to preach every year. I don't go to that church, but I go to another one up in that area now. And I was driving, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Right as you go into, after you get into Kentucky, there's a fog. If you've ever been out 75 into Kentucky, there's a fog area. And I've always noticed the signs about the fog, but I've never had seen it. Well, I'm driving down that highway, and all of a sudden, buddy, you can't see. It's broad daylight one minute, and the sun's shining, and the next minute, you can't see your hand in front of your face. And I noticed the truckers way up in front of me. I saw the brake lights coming on, and everybody on the interstate just stopped. But here comes a guy in a BMW down the flash lane running 75 miles an hour when you can't see your... If a truck driver stops, you better pull over. If a trucker says it's too bad that you can't see, hey, matter of fact, we finally got through the fog. There was that BMW upside down in the median. You know what he was doing? He thought he had it under control. He thought he could see well enough. He thought because he had an expensive car, he could just dash through the fog. But brother, listen, fog, it's going to get foggy in your life. Amen. There's going to be days of poor visibility, and when we can't see clearly, you better just stop. Nine times out of ten, when you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. When you get into periods where you can't see which way to go, you're going to make a mistake. Every single time you're going to go the wrong way, you're going to get mad at the wrong person, you're going to blame it on somebody who it's not their fault, you're going to crash is what you're going to do. And I want to try to save you tonight. Hey, we need to be able to see 2020. Not just physically, but spiritually. I remember I wore glasses for years. I believe Mama was in the sixth grade when I got glasses. And man, I hated that. I didn't want glasses. I knew because I was the one who called other people for eyes. But I remember going to that eye doctor and getting them glasses. I had a bad astigmatism. And I got them glasses and I put them glasses on in the doctor's office. And my wife made the same statement about when she got glasses when she was a kid. And I walked out of that. Never forget walking out of that doctor's office and going, wow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What I didn't realize, I was in how old are you in the sixth grade? 12? 12 years old? 12 years of my life, I thought I could see fine. I thought I could see fine. I thought you were supposed to sit that close to the TV. Amen. I thought everything looked fine to me. I didn't know trees had leaves. I just thought they had big green blobs. But I thought I could see fine. But I couldn't. And a lot of people think they're seeing clearly when they're not seeing clearly at all. They think they're seeing clearly because they've never seen clearly. Does that make sense? They think they're going in the right direction because they've never been in the right direction. Well, we need to pray God lift the fog. The great ship, the Titanic, is in the bottom of the ocean tonight, just off the coast of Nova Scotia, Canada, all because of poor visibility and, I believe, an idiotic statement. They said God himself can't sink this ship. I'd be careful. That was its maiden voyage. And it never made it where it was going. That huge ship that God can't sink is at the bottom of the ocean tonight. I forgot how many people died. There's a pile of them. All because of something they could not see. It was an iceberg. The night Lester Roloff crashed his plane and died with the honeybees. He was told before he took off at the airport. And I'm not dissing Brother Roloff. He was one of my heroes. He was told the conditions are too bad for flying. You need to ground this plane. And he made this statement. This will be the best flight of my life. And we always spiritualize it and say it was. Because he flew on home, amen, to heaven. But he was told not to fly because of poor visibility and bad weather. Sometimes when the things get bad, and I'm going to stop here. I got some points, but we'll get to them. When things get bad, you just need to be still. When things are going wrong, don't run off and leave the church. Sit still. Amen. Just sit still. Amen. Had a man that I think a lot of told me last week. We had a conversation. He said, "Brother, we love the church, but we're just kind of sitting right now. We want to get involved. We want to get busy. But, man, we've been hurt and we've been wounded." I said, "Heal, man. Take all the time you need." Amen. I appreciate people who are honest enough to say, "I've got to be careful right here because I'm in a vulnerable place and I don't want to do the wrong thing. And I want to do the right thing, but the shape I'm in, I probably don't need to do nothing." Amen. Just pray God lifts the fog. Just pray that God will take the cloudiness away where that we can see to go again. We may have to tag. I want you to notice verse number 1 of this same chapter. That frog's done crossed his legs again. Verse number 1. The Bible says there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying there's something bad wrong out there, and I don't just see it in one place, I see it all over the place. He said it's common among men. There are certain things among men that's just common for us, just natural. When we act in the natural and not the supernatural, there's some evil out there that if we let ourselves, we will do it. Now, I want you to notice what he says this evil was. Look at verse number 2. He said, "It's common among men, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity and is an evil disease." Number 1 tonight, I want you to notice that we suffer from poor visibility when we see riches instead of wealth. When we see riches instead of wealth, we measure success if we're not careful. Child of God should not do this. We shouldn't measure our riches by what we have. Are y'all okay? We get envious of other people because they have something we don't. Amen. Amen. Yes, There's a guy in our church one time, anytime somebody got a new vehicle, he went and got a new truck. He couldn't just be happy because somebody else got a new truck. Man, I was tickled to death. Of course, I've got a new truck, but I was tickled to death this morning. Melissa, the Stone Cipher, we were talking. She said, "Brother Eddie, you got to come out and see. Greg got a new truck." And I went out there and got him a Chevrolet. He got right with God. Amen. He got him a Chevrolet, 2012, black, got chrome wheel. Boy, that thing looked good. That tickled me to death, man. Amen. I'm as happy or not happier for him than I am for me. Amen. Thrilled me to death. Hey, it shouldn't bother you when somebody else gets something. What you're doing is you're measuring your happiness by what you have. And what you need to understand tonight, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, you're not rich, you're wealthy. Rich is measured in what you have, physical thing. Wealth is measured in what you possess inside. How is it that a man at 316 Peter Street in Atlanta, Georgia, who slept last night up under a bridge, came into a homeless shelter for a hot plate of food, how is it that that man can be happier than the richest man in Mirror Lake? How is it? You say, so they're not really that. Oh, I've seen them. I've seen them. Homeless and happy. It's not because of the riches they possess. It's the wealth they have. Keep your finger in Ecclesiastes 6. Turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Now watch this. I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm a wealthy man. And if you're saved and you've got the joy of the Lord in your soul, you're wealthy too. You know, understand something? That's something you can't buy. That's something you can't even put a price tag on joy and happiness. You can't buy that. Now, I told you the other day, you can buy happiness. You can't buy joy. You say, you can't buy happiness. Oh, yeah, you can. Happiness will buy a Harley Davidson. Money will buy a Harley Davidson. You ain't never seen nobody crying on a Harley. They grinning from ear to ear. You see a man on a brand new bike, he's happy. You see a man strutting it down the road in a 69 Z28, that's a happy man. But I can show you some happy people that have no joy in their life. A lot of them are bipolar. Yeah. Stuff will drive you crazy if you get too much of it. Amen. Where did I tell you to go? Matthew chapter number 6. Listen, the riches of this life cannot compare with the wealth of Christianity, of knowing the Lord. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now watch verse number 21. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some of y'all ought to crawl out of that slump of depression because of the bills and because of the finances and because of the economy and all this stuff. And we ought to realize, hey, I can be happy in the Lord. Money cannot buy what I have. Money cannot buy that little black bus girl getting born again this morning. Money can't buy. $10 million wouldn't buy that. Amen. Somebody said you paid too much money for them buses. Nah, don't think so. Amen. Don't. If I'd have thought I could raise it, I'd have bought the $45,000 buses. Amen. I ain't lying, I would. Amen. If I get that $6 million check, while I'm sick, I run a fever. And when I run a fever, if I run a 2-degree temperature fever, my mind goes wacko. It does. I have the craziest dreams you've ever had. And I told Sister Angie, I said, I had the best dream. I wanted to go back to sleep and see if I could dream it again. You ever done that? Kind of pick up where you left off? Some guy was listening on the live streaming internet thing we got and heard me preach. I was telling that story. I'm sick of hearing about all these preachers. Said a man walked in their office with a blank check. Said, "You fill in the amount." He walked in my office. He heard that message on the internet and come in here and had a big blank check in his hand. He said, "Preacher, you just fill in the amount." I snatched out of his hand. I was filling in that amount and I woke up. Hey, some people think you dream it, it's going to happen. Amen. So we may be getting close. We get that check, we're going to trade them in. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He said, lay not up for yourself treasures on the earth. Hey, listen, I want you to have things. I do. Man, y'all are good. Y'all are good to me. Y'all love the Lord. I want to see God bless you. And I pray that every day. Lord, bless my people. Not just spiritually, bless them financially. Help them, God. I aggravate William all the time. I probably too much about his stacks of money. He's saying, yeah, you do. But I pray for his business every day. I do. I pray for his business. God, help that business. Give him more stacks. Make them taller. Amen. Amen. Jennifer said right now they're pretty short. Amen. He ain't got a whole bunch of money. He just spreads it out in little piles. Amen. But I'm praying they get to be big pile. Amen. I want you to prosper. But that ain't where I want our heart to be. I don't want our heart to be in our riches. I want our heart to be in our wealth. I want us to have the attitude that no matter what, I've got Jesus. No matter what, I've got the Lord in my heart. Hey, listen, man suffers poor visibility when he sees riches instead of wealth. Number two, man sees poorly or has poor visibility when he sees the living instead of the life. When he sees the living instead of the life. Look, go back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Look at verse number 3. Say amen when you get there. I hear pages turning. I told some of you, keep your thumb in there. The Bible said, if a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice old, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. When he sees the living instead of the dead. I thought about that rich young fool who came to Jesus, inquired about eternity. Jesus said, sell all you got. Y'all remember that? He said, man, what are you kidding? I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. He was seeing the living instead of the life. He was looking at everything again he had, looking at everything he could acquire. He was looking at success and not life. There's two different things. Most successful people, not all of them, most successful people are miserable. Because their money's their God. Amen? That, you know what Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I thought about Lot. Abraham and Lot, their herdmen, were having strife against one another. Abraham told Lot, said, we're going to have to separate. He said, you pick out whatever you want. Whatever you want. You just look around, Lot, whatever, whichever part of the country you want, that's what we'll you can go that way. You can have the best, whatever it is. All Lot saw was pastures for his cattle. All Lot saw was pastures for his cattle. Lot couldn't see what was the life that was being lived in Sodom. Lot couldn't see the sodomy. Lot couldn't see the wickedness. All he could see was what good he could get out of something. We are in danger of running in poor visibility when all we're looking for is what we can get out of this. Yeah. Amen. Let me tell you something. The ministry, I don't want to sound like I'm poor mouthed. God's been good to me. I've got everything I want and then some. Got a bunch of stuff I don't want. Amen. The ministry is not a very profitable thing. You're not going to get rich by being a bus captain. You're not going to get rich teaching a Sunday school class. You're not going to get rich preaching this book. Amen. You say, Brother Eddie, you make all kind of money traveling and preaching. Friend, I go places where it costs me to go. I'm serious. Especially some of these you drive, you spend more in gas than you do and you get a love offer. I don't go for money. I like it when I get some. That's a blessing. Thank God for it. But what I'm trying to say, if you're in this for what you can get out of it, you're in this for the wrong reason. Some get involved in the ministry for self-glorification. Amen. I've seen people get in the bus ministry just because the preacher brags on the bus worker. Let me tell you something about the bus ministry. That's a calling, friend. It takes a special kind of person to do a special kind of job. And you don't find very many that dedicated to do it and stick with it. I've learned how to weed them out over the years. Brother, I want to be a bus captain. Okay, get on so-and-so's bus and help them for a few months. Oh, no, I want to be a captain. No, you want to get an award on Sunday night. You don't love bus kids. You want to get an award. You want the preacher to bribe. I'm not being mean tonight. I'm just saying. Hey, brother, it's a call of God. Man, if there wasn't a call of God for the ministry, I'd have been out of this a long time ago. If it wasn't a call of God on my life, I'd have found something else to do. Hey, plumbers are making big money right now. I'd be in the union working on a high rise in Atlanta, Georgia, making about 80 grand a year. I'm serious heart attack. But I have a call of God on my life. I don't get discouraged in the ministry because of lack of money. I don't do this for money. This is my life. I'm not worried about the living. This is my life. Amen. Listen, I don't want to sound too fanatical, but your church ought to become your life. Y'all all right? I know people who their life is at a ball field. I love ball. I'm for it. Hey, we got enough people now. We could have some, what do you call it, where you don't play other churches? Intramural. We could have intramural softball teams in our church. I think it'd be a blast, man. We got Brother BJ and Brother Jesse. We got some people who could handle that, set it up, divide up in teams. And that'd be good, man. I think it'd be great fellowship. I enjoy it. But we can't worship that stuff, man. I feel sorry for these people who are raising their child. I mean, every day they're on a ball field somewhere. Oh, he's going to be the next. Yeah, there's about 50 million out there that's going to be the next John Smoltz. I don't know what the statistics are, but it's huge. Everybody ain't going to be in the NBA. Amen. Look up here, white boys. They very few white men that can jump. Y'all all right? Somebody said, oh, you can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. I couldn't jump like Michael Jordan if I had a spring in my rear end. I can't jump like that with a trampoline, man. Listen, it's okay if you, I'm not knocking sports. My grandkids, Hayden plays, he had a birthday too. Happy birthday, bud. He's 8 years old and don't have to sit in a car seat no more. Ain't that cool? That's the first thing he told me. I called him yesterday, said, happy birthday. He said, I got rid of my car seat. The other day he told me, I'm going to be 8 years old, Papa. I'm throwing my car seat away. And he stopped and he went, no, I'm going to sell them. That's the way to think, buddy, right there. Yeah. Amen. Hey, let's make our life. Your life is what your life is centered around. Amen. Don't focus on the living. Focus on the life. Amen. Amen. I'm glad. My son played T-ball and basketball. He was very good at basketball. He wasn't good at T-ball. He hit the ball and run third base. Amen. But he did real good. Hey, won a state championship in our school in basketball. Good ball player. But I'm glad that wasn't what we built our life around. Our life was built around this wooden box right here. Our life was built around the gospel and serving the Lord with our life. Hey, I'm not saying you got to be in church every day, man. But you ought to be here when the doors are open. You ought to be here when we're having a function right here. Amen. Camp meeting time. Hey, coach, mine won't be there. Amen. We ought to teach them, man. This is priority. He said, well, if they don't go today, they won't get to start. Who cares? 30 years from now, that ain't going to matter. Whether he started in a game or not. That is not going to matter. But what if he heard the message that he needed to hear that changed his life? Hallelujah. I'm saying build your life around the things of God. Not around the things of the world. Man, I love to deer hunt. I love it so much I didn't even go this year. Somebody said, how many deer did you kill? Not one. It's hard to shoot them off the back of a horse or sitting on the couch. Amen. Amen. I love horses. I love fooling with Chris and riding them horses and having a good time. We have a blast. Man, we talk about the Lord and just rejoice. And we have a good time. But man, that's not my life. That's not my life. Chris Smith is not my life. Trust me. He's not my life. Amen. If we're not careful, we can allow our hobbies and the things we enjoy to blur our vision of where we really ought to be and what we really ought to be doing. Amen. Hey, I'm here to tell you, God had a purpose for your life. And it wasn't shoot hoops. God didn't make you to play basketball. I believe he made Michael Jordan to play basketball. I don't believe anybody's ever been able to do it like he done it. I don't know if he's a saved man or not. But he's born to play ball. But I guarantee you he's born for something else too. God gave him a talent, no doubt about it. But I guarantee you he missed the will of God somewhere. Y'all okay? People pump up these athletes and these superstars, these country musicians that get on the, what do they call them, awards? CMA, Country Music Award, they get on them. I just want to thank God for making my record about adultery and drinking. I want to thank God for making that. God didn't make that number one. God didn't have nothing to do with that. Y'all okay? God didn't have it. Hey, man, that's their life. Oh, but they're saved. Yeah, maybe so. Most of them probably started singing in church somewhere. Amen. Most of them, but man, hey, God gave them a talent to use for Him. Yeah. Yeah. But they got to looking at the living. Yeah. They got their eyes on them big shiny silver eagles, them big tour buses. Yeah. Now they got jet airplanes. Yeah. I was watching a thing on something on television, and they were showing them motor coaches, them big tour buses. You know them things cost over $1 million? Over $1 million for a bus. Man, all I want is a $45,000 one to pick up kids. They get to seeing all the glitter and all the glamour. And man, you stand in the line at the grocery store and read about their lives on them. And I know a lot of that stuff ain't true, but there's something to it. When they're going through a divorce every time you turn around, there's something to that. What happened was they missed their life and got focused on the living. Amen. Y'all all right? Man, I'm telling you what. They some of them people. Whoo! What's that girl's name that died? I Will Always Love You. Whitney Houston. You know where she started singing? Church in the choir. My, if we had that woman, it'd be off the chain, Jack. We would change the words to that song and make it a gospel song. And I'd make that heifer sing it every week. Amen. Let her rip, sis. Hallelujah. You talk about a voice was as pure as anything I've ever heard. Look how her life ended up. Look how her life ended up. A mess. Dead. Got to seeing all the fame. Are you listening? I had a preacher friend of mine who come out of a world of playing rock music. He sang in this church several times in the old church. And I heard him preach many times or testify while they were singing, him and his family. And he would say, if I ever go back for the fame again, somebody whip me. Then I see him on TV, back for the fame. Still singing gospel music, but it's a different gospel music than what he sang when he was here. Called me on the phone one day, wanted to come by. I said, no, not this time. He said, what's going on, brother? I said, you ain't what you used to be. I said, I remember one time you told me if you ever went back for the fame and the money to whoop you. And he just laughed. Oh, we the same. I said, no, I seen you on TV. You ain't the same. Y'all all right? They got looking at what all they could gain out of it. We need to forget about what we can gain. We're laying up treasure somewhere else. Our payday's coming. I promise you, our payday's coming. That old song in the hymn book says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that will make it worth it. But when I see that little girl that got saved off y'all's bus this morning, that'll make it worth it for me. Amen. We get before the throne of God and we see all them little children we've hauled in here over these last 22 years. Hallelujah, man. That's going to make them hungry days worth every dime.
Amen.
Amen. We get to see Randy Pike walking on good legs. Whew. What a day, man. What a day. You can't buy that. Money can't buy that. Sometimes we allow the life that the living are living, and we think, wow, and they're doing so much better than me. Are you saved? Does your wife still love you? Is your children in jail? Are y'all listening?
Amen.
People harp about teenagers all the time. We got some of the best kids I know.
Amen.
Yes, sir. These boys around here, they say yes, sir to me. Man, I thank God for that.
Amen.
They got some character and they got some morals.
Amen.
Y'all all right? Our boys ain't walking around with their britches hanging down and their hiney and showing. Hey, and I'm going to tell you something else. Just throw this in. Our bus kids are some pretty good kids.
Amen.
I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we got some good kids coming in on them buses.
Amen.
Who dress right and they act right. Some of them don't, of course. That comes with the territory. But we got some good kids riding them buses, church. We had a dad rode the bus this morning. A grown man. I got out of my truck and he was getting off the bus. I shook his hand. He sat up there in the balcony. Raised his hand, said he was lost. Frank talked to him. I don't know. I never did get to find out what came of that. I don't know if he got saved. I don't know. I just saw him up there talking during the invitation. I hope he is talking to him about the Lord. Isn't that a blessing, man? One of these days, we're going to get paid for that. Do you understand that? Man, we're looking at temporal things. He said the moths and the rust are going to corrupt and the thieves are going to come in and steal. Hey, you ain't taking nothing you got with you. I heard a story about a millionaire. Told his wife he is sick. He had so many months to live. He said, when I die, I want you to go get my money, get all my money, and put it in my casket with me. He said, you got a promise. She said, okay, darling, I'll do that. On the day of the funeral, somebody asked her, did you really? They saw her go put something in that coffin. They said, did you really put all his money in there? She said, oh, yeah. She said, how in the world could you do that? You really? They just going to let him bury all his money? She said, oh, I wrote him a check. Amen. You ain't taking it with you. I don't care how much money you die with. It don't go with you. You come in naked, you going out the same way. You come in with nothing, you leave in with nothing.
Amen.
But boy, if you got Jesus in your heart,
amen,
you come in with nothing, you leave in with everything.
Amen.
Heaven's your home, man.
Amen.
Woo, ain't that good stuff? Amen. I'm trying to make you happy about being poor. Amen. We ought to be content with what we have, the Bible says. Amen. There's nothing wrong to strive to do better and to have better. Nothing wrong with that. Every parent in this room, you want your kids to have better than you did. Legina don't want her kids to grow up in a house like she grew up in. Amen. And but they got a good home. Thank God for it.
Amen.
I'm telling you, quit worrying about what you ain't got. Quit worrying about what you ain't got. Thank God for what you do got. That ain't good English. But thank God for what you do got. What you do have. What you possess. If your possessions are few, thank God you have them. You could have absolutely nothing.
Amen.
The only difference between you and that man under the bridge on I-20, the only difference between you and that man who's right now curled up cold in a tent right there on the side of I-20 in Douglasville. Y'all ever seen all them tents, that little tent village in there? There's people living there right now. There's people in the woods of Villarica tonight. I talk to them all the time, man. I see them. They come in here. I don't have nowhere to sleep. Don't have nothing to eat. The only difference between you and them is the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. You want to have more? Do more with what you got. Do more for the work of God with what you have. Amen. Verse number 11 and 12, and I'll wrap this up. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for a man in this life, all the days of his life, of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Listen carefully. We suffer from poor visibility when we see the present and not the future. When we see the present and not the future. I know people who run themselves crazy because this is all they see. All they see is right here, what it is right now. Nothing ever stays the same. Do you understand that? It will change. The fog will lift. You will be able to see it again. There is hope. Do you understand that? There is hope. Listen to me carefully. Like the Bible says, the man takes from the soil and puts nothing back. The Israelites, they wasn't content in the wilderness simply because they couldn't see where they were going. There was some, what's his name? I want that mountain. Caleb. Caleb had been over there. Caleb had seen the grapes and the pomegranates. Caleb had seen the land that floweth with milk and honey. Caleb had seen his mountain. Caleb got to acquire that thing. He got to cross over. But many died in the wilderness because they couldn't get a vision of what was in the future. Woo! Some of us need to get a vision of what's in the future. We need to quit worrying about everything that's wrong today and think about what God's going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next week and the next week. I'm excited about the future. I don't know where this church is going. I don't. I'm excited about it. I know it's going up. Amen. This morning, it was so full in here that our ushers were having to stop people in the vestibule, walk around the church and find them a place to sit and go get them and bring them to a seat. We got a problem. We got a problem. God knows we have a problem. He's not sitting in heaven going, oh, I didn't know your church was full. It's his fault. He filled it. And more are coming. What a blessing. What a problem to have. I don't have many preachers that I talk to them and say, and they say, well, pray for us. Our church is so full, we ain't got nowhere to put people. I don't get that problem very often. Brother Ken Bowman down in Bowden, they was having that problem. But they had something to do. They had something to fix the problem with. They knocked the wall out and fixed and knocked another one out. Hallelujah for them. Amen. God knows we got a problem. Amen. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm excited about it. I don't know what the new church is going to look like, but I'm excited about it. Y'all okay? Amen. We might have to move out there in the gym. We in the people business. We ain't in the building business. Well, it wouldn't be as pretty out there. Yeah, but what if 50 more people got saved? Amen. We lose our vision and our visibility when we see the present and not the future. Martin Luther saw the future. Adonai Judson saw the mission field. William Carey saw the mission field. Are you listening? Stephen saw Jesus instead of rocks. Jesus saw Paul, the gospel writer, instead of a murderer. Jesus saw you for what you could be and not what you were. Jesus didn't see Jason Crow as a meth dealer. Jesus saw Jason Crow as an RU director. And a man who could go to the gutter and rescue people like the one he was. What Jesus could see was the future instead of the present. I remember, and I'll give you this and I'm done. My first bass boat, there was a day when I worshiped fishing. I mean, that was my God. My first bass boat, I bought it from Boyd Cole on Mulberry Rock Road. I saw it laying in his yard in the weeds. Wasn't even on a trailer. It was a little 16-foot fiberglass bass boat. I don't know if you know anything about boats, but it was in two pieces. There was a top part and a bottom part. They had to be put together, and it was a part. I stopped in there and asked Boyd what he'd take for it. He said, "What do you mean what I'd take for it?" He said, "If you get it out of my yard, you can have it." Well, I called Jerry Seal. We went over there with a rollback record and loaded that thing. I was so excited. Boyd Cole done give me a bass boat. I told Angie, I said, "Man, I can't wait for you to see my boat." She's having fond memories of that right now. We pulled up in the yard and dropped that rollback, slid that thing off. Angie come out on the porch. She said, "What is that?" I said, "That's my bass boat." She's rolled her eyes, turned around, walking out. What she saw was its present condition. I saw it skinning it back down the lake. Man, we put that thing back together, sanded it down, and went and bought a trailer, had it painted, then had that clear coat put over that glittery part, new carpet and new seats, got me a motor. She looked at that thing and said, "I cannot believe that's the same boat." Same way with people. That young lady at that funeral last night looked at Brother Jason and she said, "I cannot believe what I'm seeing. The man I used to know and the man you are today." If we would stop looking at people where they are and just loving them where they are and realizing what they could become in the future. If Brother John Houston hadn't, of course I knew that testimony before he told it tonight, but if he hadn't have told me about his past, I would have never dreamed it. He's helped on the mission field, dug water wells, won people to Christ left and right. If somebody would have asked me, was he a biker? No. And that man loved God. He wasn't a biker. He wasn't an outlaw. Was he a drug addict? Brother John, no. If he hadn't told you that tonight, you'd have never known. You'd have never, ever. Hey, Jesus saw this John. Not that John back in Arkansas. Not that John with a needle in his arm. Not that John. Jesus saw this John. This John that goes a couple of times to the Dominican Republic and helps people on the mission field. Jesus saw, woo, that John. Jesus saw this Jason. Not that Jason. And when these drug addicts come in here, and they're coming, I'm just telling you straight up, well, I'm going to find me another church. That might be a thing for you to do. If you got a problem with people getting help, amen. I don't mean that ugly. I promise I don't. But I'm begging you. I'm begging you to see what they can be. Amen. Not what they are. Everybody's telling them what they are. Their own families have told them what they are. Man, we want to show them what they can be. We want to show them the before and after picture. Wouldn't that be cool if we had some before and after pictures? If we could go back to some of y'all's past life, Brother Freddie with his long hair and parachute pants playing in a rock band. I'm serious, hard time. I'm not making fun of it. Probably had a Michael Jackson glove. Stick to preaching, amen. I think it'd be awesome if you had that and you could put those two pictures, him teaching Bible class, him in the rock band. I think it's an awesome thing. Jason sliding out his truck, dealing the dope, up here preaching the gospel. Amen. Brother John on his bike. I can't even picture it in my head. I can't. Shooting drugs up his arm. I can't even picture that. Have a picture of then and now. Man, we're in danger of poor visibility when we see the present and not the future. When we see the present and not the future. Listen, Jesus is seeing a little further down the road than you can see. He knows what's good. Don't let the present do you in. If you're living for right now, boy, you better. Hey, there's hope tomorrow. Amen. There's hope for tomorrow. Listen, heaven's our home. Our future's looking pretty bright. I'd say this thing's worth sticking it out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, hey, don't get nervous. We're not going to let them steal the radios out of your car. I'm serious. We're going to watch them. Amen. Hey, some people are just going to have to watch. Amen. Kingsway, I believe, if they still do it, Kingsway brings every one of them homeless men from the rescue mission to every service. Every service, they load them up on buses. They bring them in. Got a section in the church where all of them sit, homeless. Amen. Kingsway's fancy church. They up there, man. They highbrow. I mean, they sing that round mouth music and everything. Amen. But you know what? You know what they've learned? Helping people's better than anything in this whole world. Amen. I thank God for that rescue mission. We support it. And I'm glad to. I'm glad there's some people who sees what can be. Amen. Did you know there's people that's come through that rescue mission, Brother Robbie, that's serving God today? Amen. One of them helps run it, don't he? Still, that's, I can't remember his name. Steve. You know, they didn't hire him because of his qualification. He was a, what's that hair commercial, that guy say, I know because I was a patient or whatever. Hey, he come through the rescue mission. He was homeless. Went through the program. Now he's serving God with his life, man. How cool is that? How cool is that? Wouldn't you want to know if you was homeless, as a church in town that'd care about you?
Amen.
Let me ask you this. Wouldn't you want to know if your son or your daughter was hooked on drugs and they had nowhere else to go, that there was a church in town that'd say, let's don't let our vision get blurred because of the present.
Amen.
Amen. Don't quit coming to church because it's crowded. Don't. Man, I'll make these guys stand up.
Amen.
I will. Amen. We've done that. We've had meetings right here in this room that was literally, the walls were lying all the way down the side. Remember that?
Yeah.
People piled up down here sitting on the altar. I'm people everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll go there again in a heartbeat. Now, I know that ain't the ideal thing. But hey, God knows we're full. And he knows what's coming.
Amen.
I'm like a kid at Christmas. I can see it, but it's still wrapped up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I can see it, and I'm hoping it's what I think it is. You know what I mean? I'm hoping it's what I think it is. I'm thinking, you know, boy, I hope that's what I want, what I got in my mind. I hope that's what's in that box. But then again, I'm thinking, what if it's better than what I think it is? I don't know when Christmas is coming, but we're going to get to open that box. And I think if you'll hang around, we'll get to open it together. And I believe it'll be worth it. Amen. Somebody said, are we going to move off this property? I don't know. I don't know. Are we going to tear this down and build a new one? I don't know. I can see the gift. It's wrapped up. It's there, man. I believe that as sure as I believe I'm standing here tonight. Wouldn't that be good when we get to have an unveiling party? Maybe put a picture of it up there on the screen and say, here it is. This is what's coming. Amen. How's your vision tonight? Is it poor visibility? Is your unsinkable ship about to hit an iceberg? That ship sank because of a stupid captain who didn't have sense enough not to sail into dangerous water. They run into a piece of ice, broke the ship in half because they couldn't see. Thus, because they couldn't see. If you're in an area of low visibility in your life right now, be still. He'd have been better off to drop anchor and say, we're going to wait for daylight. We're going to wait for daylight. The Titanic would have made its course. Maybe. It might have sunk, period, after they said God couldn't sink it. Wait for daylight. Wait for daylight. Don't leave the church when things are bad. If you're going to leave, leave when it's good.
Amen.
Leave when ain't nothing wrong.
Yes, sir.
Y'all okay? Don't jump too soon. Amen. Don't quit your job because you get mad. Man, everybody gets mad at work. Amen. I've seen grown men, and I've begged them. I've looked them in the eyes and said, don't do this. Quit their job because people cuss there. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to business for myself. People cuss where I work. They're going to cuss wherever you are. You Igmo. Amen. You can't work in the public where people don't cuss. You want to build a little bubble around yourself? Keep your job, man. Because all they can see is what's right here. What's right here. Man, I'm going to leave this job. I've got good insurance. I get a paycheck every week. But I'm going to quit this because they're telling dirty jokes and go to doing where I ain't got no insurance. And I ain't even sure I'm going to have a check every week. Y'all okay? Quit looking at the present and pray for the future. Let's stand our feet tonight. There's an old pop music song. I don't even know who sang it, but I remember it from my days. I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. You ever seen people get a ticket, and the reason for the ticket, the officer writes, too fast for conditions? The speed limit may be 70, but if you've got zero visibility, you need to slow down. You're still, just because the sign says 70, you're still going too fast. Amen. Slow down. Wait till the rain's gone. Wait till the sun comes up again where you can see. Amen. Brother Todd, y'all come give us a song.